Hey everyone, welcome back to the Origine podcast. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Alex. Today we've got something really fascinating to dig into.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking about thyroid cancer, but not just any thyroid cancer. We're looking at this really aggressive form called anaplastic thyroid carcinoma, or ATC.
Right, and here's the thing that's so striking about this research. ATC is one of the most lethal human cancers out there. We're talking a median survival of just 5 months.
5 months. That's just devastating. And what makes it even more puzzling is that it often evolves from a much less aggressive form called differentiated thyroid carcinoma, or DTC.
Exactly. So you've got this cancer that starts out relatively treatable, and then something happens. It transforms into this incredibly aggressive disease. The question is, what's driving that transformation?
And that's where this new study comes in. The researchers use something called spatial transcriptomic sequencing to actually map out what's happening during this transition.
Spatial transcriptomics. Okay? So for folks who might not be familiar, this is like taking a snapshot of which genes are turned on or off in different parts of the tumor, right? But you also preserve where everything is located in the tissue.
Yes, exactly. It's not just what genes are active, it's where they're active. And that spatial information turned out to be crucial here.
So what did they find? I mean, they looked at 7 samples that had both the aggressive ATC regions and the less aggressive DTC regions coexisting in the same tumor.
Right, which is really clever because it means you're comparing regions from the same patient, same tumor. You're minimizing all those other variables, and what they discovered was pretty remarkable.
The ATC regions showed this massive upregulation of genes involved in immune suppression, angiogenesis, basically creating an environment where the tumor can thrive and evade the immune system.
And here's something really interesting. When they did whole exome sequencing to look at the mutations, they found that the adjacent DTC regions already had a mutational burden comparable to the ATC regions.
Wait, so the genetic changes were already there? Even in the less aggressive parts?
Yes. That's the key insight. The genomic priming for dedifferentiation was already present. So it's not just about accumulating mutations. There's this whole transcriptomic reprogramming happening on top of that.
Okay, so they used something called trajectory analysis to map out this progression. Can you walk us through what they found?
Sure. So they identified this stepwise process with 4 distinct gene modules, and 2 key regulators emerged, PDCD4 and TYMP. Now, PDCD4 is particularly interesting because it's a tumor suppressor that normally puts the brakes on translation.
Translation? So, protein production, basically?
Exactly. And when you lose PDCD4 expression, which is what happens in ATC, you get this aberrant overproduction of immunosuppressive proteins. It's like taking the brakes off a car going downhill.
And then there's TIMP, which codes for thymidine phosphorylase. The researchers found that TIMP-positive tumor-associated macrophages were highly enriched in the ATC regions.
Right, and these macrophages are basically creating this immunosuppressive microenvironment. They're helping the tumor hide from the immune system.
So let me see if I've got this right. The loss of PDCD4 leads to overexpression of factors that recruit these immunosuppressive macrophages, which then help the tumor evade immune attack.
Yes, and they showed this through a series of really elegant experiments. They knocked out PDCD4 in differentiated thyroid cancer cells and showed it promoted M2 macrophage polarization.
M2 macrophages being the immunosuppressive type, right?
Exactly. And when they overexpressed PDCD4 in ATC cells, they saw the opposite effect. Reduced M2 macrophages and slower tumor growth in mice.
Now they also dug into the mechanism, right? It's not just PDCD4 itself, but how it regulates this protein called EIF4A.
Yes, so PDCD4 normally binds to EIF4A and inhibits it. EIF4A is part of this translation initiation complex. When PDCD4 is lost, EIF4A becomes hyperactive, and you get increased translation of specific mRNAs, including ones that encode immunosuppressive factors.
And they actually showed that inhibiting EIF4A could reverse some of these effects.
They did. They used an EIF4A inhibitor in mice and saw reduced tumor growth and a shift in the immune microenvironment. Fewer M2 macrophages, more M1 macrophages, which are the anti-tumor type.
This is really promising because EIF4A inhibitors are actually in clinical trials for other cancers right now. There's one called zototyphan that's being tested in breast and prostate cancer.
Right, though they do acknowledge there are challenges. You know, potential toxicity, since EIF4A is important for normal cells too. But the concept of targeting this pathway to reprogram the tumor microenvironment is really exciting.
And I think what's so powerful about this study is that it's not just identifying what's different between these cancer types, but actually mapping out the progression, showing how one transforms into the other.
Absolutely. They constructed this pseudotemporal trajectory, showing the path from differentiated to anaplastic, identifying the key transcriptional states along the way. It's like having a roadmap of cancer progression.
And clinically, this matters because current treatments for ATC are pretty limited, right? Surgery, radiation, chemotherapy, but outcomes are still really poor.
Yeah, the 5-year survival rate is less than 5%. And even immune checkpoint inhibitors, which have revolutionized treatment for some cancers, haven't been as effective in ATC.
Which makes sense now, given what this study shows about the immunosuppressive microenvironment. If you've got all these M2 macrophages creating this hostile environment for immune cells, checkpoint inhibitors alone might not be enough.
Exactly. So the idea would be to combine checkpoint inhibitors with strategies that reprogram the microenvironment. Maybe targeting EIF4A or finding ways to restore PDCD4 function.
It's also worth noting that they validated their findings across multiple datasets and experimental systems. They used public single-cell RNA sequencing data, tissue samples, in vitro experiments, and mouse models.
Yeah, the experimental design was really thorough. And using samples where ATC and DTC coexist was such a smart approach, because it controls for patient-specific factors.
So looking forward, what do you think are the big takeaways from this work?
Well, I think first, it really changes how we think about cancer progression. It's not just about genetic mutations piling up. There's this whole layer of transcriptional and microenvironmental reprogramming happening.
And second, it identifies specific therapeutic targets. The PDCD4-EIF4A axis seems like a really promising avenue for intervention.
Right. And third, it highlights the importance of the tumor microenvironment, particularly these tumor-associated macrophages. If we can shift them from an immunosuppressive to an anti-tumor phenotype, that could make a real difference.
Though they do acknowledge some limitations, the sample size is small because ATC is so rare. And there are still questions about the upstream signals regulating PDCD4 expression.
True, but I think this really opens the door for future studies. And the spatial transcriptomics approach they used could be applied to other cancer types where you see this kind of dedifferentiation.
Absolutely. It's a powerful demonstration of how these newer technologies can give us insights that we just couldn't get before.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for joining us on the Origene podcast.
Yeah, this was a great discussion. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave us a review. Until next time.